Sports Radio's update with Christian Jones.
Faster my good afternoon. It's 5 o'clock on Thursday, the 7th of August. I'm Christian Jones and this is Update. Welcome in to 30 minutes of all the latest news, sport and travel compiled from the resources of Manx Radio's newsroom on the way tonight. The 8S bus service has taken to the road for the first time, marking what will be the return of a route to Craigneish. Meanwhile, a major shake-up of jury service rules could be on the way soon, and Isle of Pride is officially back after a three-year hiatus. All those stories and more coming up. As always, drop me a line in the usual way if you want to say hello. Text WhatsApp to 166 177 or email to studio@manxradio.com. First of all, though, let's head over to Siobhan Fletcher, who has the latest news headlines. Faster my, Siobhan.
Faster my. Mananen is currently undergoing testing to see if she can take to the seas again this evening. The fast craft had to return to Douglas less than an hour into this morning's crossing to Liverpool due to a control fault with one of its generators. The Steam Packet says if testing is successful, she'll depart Douglas at 6:15 p.m. We'll bring you an update either way as soon as we have it. The new 8S bus route connecting the south of the island with Peel will begin on Saturday morning. Special trial service has taken place this morning, carrying passengers from the Department of Infrastructure and the Save Our Craigneish Bus Campaign Group. Port Erin Commissioners says staff cleaning the beach have found dangerous litter, including broken bottles, this morning. The local authority says it's reckless and dangerous for items to be left and that visitors have a personal responsibility to clean up after themselves. It comes after a 9-year-old girl needed precautionary medical treatment over the weekend after stepping on a needle there. And one of the island's four main supply reservoirs is being drained after two critical valves failed during a routine inspection. Clipps Reservoir in Onchan supplies raw water to the Douglas Water Treatment Works and onward to customers in the eastern and southern regions of the island. Further afield, UK interest rates have fallen for the fifth time in a year. The Bank of England's reduced the base rate from 4.25% to 4. That's the lowest figure since March 2023. But what does that mean for the Isle of Man? Well, here's Treasury Minister Alex Allinson.
What will happen now is the knock-on effect in terms of savings rates for people on the island and also mortgage rates. And we'll be working with the banks to make sure that we follow in line with the UK and give that benefit of lower mortgages to people living here.
The United Arab Emirates has emerged as a venue for possible talks between Donald Trump and Vladimir Putin next week. And a former Superman could be soon taking part in deportation raids across the US. Dean Cain says he's joining the Immigration and Customs Enforcement Agency to, quote, save America. There are your headlines, news at 6.
Good morning, thank you very much for that, Siobhan. Let's take a look at the weather now, brought to you by Manx Glass and Glazing. Risk of a few passing showers developing for a time this evening, but still with bright or sunny intervals. Moderate to fresh west-southwest winds and minimum temperature overnight of 12 degrees Celsius. Tomorrow, though, dry with sunny spells and fresh to strong west winds, west or southwest winds and top temperature of 18 degrees Celsius.
Manx Glass and Glazing can supply and install single, double and triple glazing. Call 674 573 or visit the showroom on the Snugborough Trading Estate.
If you run a small business or just need more room in the back, Delshaw Vehicles has the perfect van or light commercial for all your needs and can sort out any finance. Based in the Tremode Estate, view delshawvehicles.im or call 49 51 49.
A great night's sleep got even better with Zet's Bedding Store. From quality Beldorm bed linen and mattress protectors, fleece and woven throws to luxury duvets from the fine bedding company, Zed's Bedding Ramsey, next to Isle of Man Bank.
Visit Ramsey Art Gallery for a fabulous range of top brand watches and stunning gold and silver jewellery, gifts for all occasions, and of course our gallery of prints and original artworks. Find all this and more at Ramsey Art Gallery Jewellers and Engravers, opposite the RNLI shop.
Reach the Isle of Man's biggest radio audience with Manx Radio. Airtime sponsorship and digital opportunities available. For more information on how we can help your business grow its market share, contact the friendly, experienced team on sales at manxradio.com.
You're listening to the Isle of Man's quintessential daily news and current affairs roundup. Update on Manx Radio.
Well, it's approaching 5 minutes past five here on Manx Radio's Update. If you're in the south of the island this morning, you may have spotted the 8S bus service on the road for the first time. A special trial run took place for members of the Department of Infrastructure and the Save Our Craigneish bus group, as well as local politicians. It's been confirmed the new route, which connects Peel with the south of the island, will officially launch on Saturday. As well as serving the airports, Castletown and Port Erin, the 8S will continue to Craigneish and the Sound, which have been without a bus since the number 28 was scrapped. Chanel Suku has been speaking with the Infrastructure Minister, Michelle Hayward.
This particular service today is the very first time that the 8S service has run on the Isle of Man. So this is a special trip for us today to bring us from Peel all the way through St John's, down through Foxdale, down to the airport and then Castletown and then on to the south, so to both ports, Ports Mary and Port Erin, and finally down to the sound.
This service, you know, it's very, well, I don't want to say it's unique, but it's unique because, you know, it connects the west of the island to the south.
Yeah, all of our services tend to pretty much run from Douglas and run out as on a spoke model. There's been a long time call for having something that particularly connects Peel through to the airport. And we did see this post-COVID when we were trying to support hospitality and people moving around, and we had lots of people doing staycations and going out on the island, that there was a service that did the run sort of Peel to connect to the south. That kind of dropped off. Staffing levels made it a real challenge to deliver that, but I'm delighted that this service now is back on the timetable.
That Craigneish and the Sound route, that was something that the Save Our Craigneish bus group has been calling for. Was it important, was this something that you were trying to incorporate with this service so that people from the south could get onto that bus and head further south if they needed?
Yeah, I think the service that had been running down to the Sound had become a bit sporadic on timing and wasn't always staffed up, and people learnt not to trust it, and the timings for those buses were pretty poor as well. It only ran sort of three times a day, and it just wasn't ever going to really satisfy anyone's need of a reliable service. So this is significantly different because it's all connected in with this much larger route. It allows us to provide an hourly service down there, and that would be a huge benefit to visitors down there. We know particularly that parking can be a real challenge, and I'd really urge people to consider taking the bus down there to kind of help us preserve. We don't want to extend car parks down at the Sound or anything like that. We really want people to use public transport, and this is there now. And it makes that kind of, I'll walk around one route, go and have something, some excellent refreshments at the cafe, and then catch the bus back down, really viable. But it also particularly serves our tourist industry.
That's the Infrastructure Minister, Michelle Hayward, speaking there. Now, interest rates in the UK have been cut to their lowest level in almost 2.5 years. The Bank of England voted to reduce rates by a quarter of a percentage point to 4%, pointing to a recent fall in wage inflation and reduced uncertainty over the impact of US tariffs. Despite this, it predicts accelerating food prices could bring about a sharp rise in inflation, as Bank of England's Governor Andrew Bailey explains.
The largest driver of the rise in headline inflation over the past year has been energy prices. More recently, higher food price inflation has also contributed. We expect headline inflation to peak at about 4% in September.
Well, the Isle of Man's inflation rate generally lags behind the UK's, but follows similar trends, albeit with a few months later. The Isle of Man also doesn't set its own interest rate. It's governed by the Bank of England, meaning changes to interest rates will immediately affect things like savings and mortgages here. Well, since then, the Manx Treasury Minister, Alex Allinson, has been discussing what change this could mean for the Isle of Man.
I mean, it was widely advertised, and obviously what the government there and the Bank of England, which is independent, but what they're trying to do is balance the cost of living with the inflation, which has gone up quite a bit in the UK recently. Ours is tracking less than that. But they are in a difficult position. And at the same time, I think there is that real will to try to reduce the cost of borrowing, particularly for those people on mortgages who saw quite a rapid hike after the famous Liz Truss budget. And we're just about recovering from that. And I think these are the lowest levels we've had in the last 2 years. What will happen now is the knock-on effect in terms of savings rates for people on the island, and also mortgage rates. And we'll be working with the banks to make sure that we follow in line with the UK and give that benefit of lower mortgages to people living here.
You're listening to the Isle of Man's quintessential daily news and current affairs roundup.
Update on Manx Radio.
Well, it's just gone 10 minutes past five. An Isle of Man resident has described the Manx-issued international driving permit amateurish after he was not allowed to hire out a vehicle in Japan. In May, Lee Watson visited the country and intended to hire a car from Europcar. Despite having all the paperwork ready, he was refused the vehicle due to staff in Okinawa not being familiar with the Isle of Man. He showed officials and police there the Geneva Convention guidance on countries with IDPs, but that still was not enough.
We had the hire car through Europcar. Very smooth from the airport onto the bus to the head office, and they're looking at my Isle of Man international driving license and they're scratching their heads and they hadn't heard of it. So I've Googled international driving licenses, the Geneva Convention, to show that the Isle of Man falls into line. They still wouldn't have it. The Isle of Man driving license, as quick as it is to obtain, doesn't look the best. Let's face it, you could make it in your kitchen in an hour, and there lies the problem. It looks like you've made it yourself. And literally, they wouldn't give me a car. So there I was in Okinawa. My hotel is 5 miles from the nearest bus stop. No street lighting. I was so frustrated. So I couldn't see Okinawa like I really wanted to. I've spoke to other people since and they've had the same problems wherever they've been. It's worked for me before, you know. I've used it in Australia, I've used it in Africa, I've used it in all different places. But in Japan, they just scratching their heads. The manager said, don't get me wrong, I want to hire you a car, but we have to make sure that it's 1,000% legit. So they called the police and they asked the police for their advice. The police had never heard of the Isle of Man. So there again, I've got Google on the go, showing them the map, showing them the Geneva Convention, but no, they wouldn't hire me a car. So I was having to take Ubers, buses, probably double the cost, but it was more the convenience, because if I had the car, I could have seen all the attractions, but now I'm waiting for buses.
What are you going to do differently to try and make sure you can get that vehicle?
Email up front, get written confirmation. But yeah, maybe I should have done this time, but because I've had no problems in the past, I didn't think to. Lesson learned. Next time, email up front.
Is there anything that can be done on the Isle of Man side?
Well, when you look at the normal Manx license, and it's obviously it's a credit card size and it looks official. This other one looks, it's like a blue Peter job. It's like you've caught up an old cornflakes box, stuck on a photograph, given it a stamp and you're good to go. It's just so amateurish, and I'm sure people wouldn't mind paying the extra money, 20, 30, 40 pounds, for peace of mind knowing that that'll last maybe a year, 2 years. And it looks official rather than something you may at home.
Well, what are your thoughts on that? Text WhatsApp to 166177, email to studio@manxradio.com. Have you ever had any issues with the Isle of Man driving license? Let us know. Now, Isle of Pride is officially back 3 years after wrapping up. A new board has been formed to take over the running of the charity going forward. It stopped operating in 2022 after unplanned protests were at its last Pride event, and also amid questions about LGBTQ+ representation on its previous committee. New director James Cherry has been speaking with Amy Griffiths.
There was an issue at Pride 2022 where placards were showing about police presence, and it was something that the organisers weren't aware of. It was done by individuals without the consent of Isle of Pride, who'd had invited the police after the public apology that Gary Roberts, the chief constable at the time, had issued. And a fair point to the people who showed the placards is that they feel that the first Pride was a protest and they wanted to carry that on. And from there it snowballed. Some people in the community voiced opinion that the people who were directors didn't overly represent them, because the majority of the board were straight white women, essentially, which we have tried to change this time. The majority of the board and the committee are members of the LGBTQ+ community, and hopefully we've got a good representation at the moment.
Talk to me about plans for Isle of Pride going forward then. Lots of exciting things coming up.
Yeah, so the first big event is Pride on the Quay, which will be on the 30th of August. That's running from midday till 11 p.m. Loads of acts, raffles, stuff like that. There are plans afoot already for Pride next year, but it's a wait and see. We will announce that, but until everything's solidly in place, we're not going to announce when that will be, but essentially we are back.
Because what is life like on the Isle of Man as a member of the LGBTQ+ community?
I think a lot of people still have the mentality that they can be accepted, but not fully to their own extent, so they couldn't, you know, I know people who have social anxiety holding hands together with their partner in the street and public displays of affection and stuff like that. And that's not the way we should be. Everyone should love the person that they love and not get grief for it. We have had incidents in the past of people of LGBTQ being assaulted in the street as a random one-off attacks and stuff like that for just being who they are, which is completely wrong. So there are things that need to be done, but they need to be done the right way.
Manx Radio Travel, driven by Quayside Tyres and Service Centre.
Few things to be aware of, mostly the usual ones. In Douglas, the traffic light system at St Ninian's Crossroads is being replaced, so temporary lights are currently replacing the main lights and all filter lanes are out of operation. Also in Douglas, temporary lights on Woodbourne Road, 24 hours a day at the Albany Road junction for bus stop improvement works. In Ramsey, temporary lights on Bowring Road between Windsor Road and Coburg Road, 24 hours a day for groundworks, and also the Ramsey Swing Bridge is currently closed to traffic. All right, let's take a look at the steam packet. We have had an update about the Mananen. I'll read this verbatim for you. It says, quote, "We apologise to customers following the cancellation of today's delayed 3 o'clock Mananen sailing to Liverpool and its 7:15 return. Mananen experienced a technical issue with its generators on passage to Liverpool this morning, resulting in a return to Douglas in order for maintenance work to be carried out. All passengers affected by the cancellations are eligible for free transfer to another sailing or a full refund if preferred. And if you want to do either of those, then you'll need to contact their reservations team." Mananen aside though, the Manxman left a little bit later than normal, left Heysham at 4 o'clock, so it's not expected back in Douglas until 7:45, 7:45. And let's take a look at the airport now. Everything's looking good on the arrivals board. What about the departures? All looking to time there too.
Quayside Tyres and Service Centre with 1 year's free engine warranty from Castrol. Get more with Quayside.
It's the Royal Manx Agricultural Show live at Nokelo in Patrick Friday and Saturday, and Manon Lines live on the field with DEFA Chief Officer Scott Gallagher, Beach Buddies Bill Dale, Finlay McLeod from the Creamery, Ian Parsons and Murray Kringle from the Manx NFU, and more. For Royal Manx voices and opinions on the future of Ireland agriculture, food security, role of government, recruitment and skills training, net zero agenda, countryside management, agroeconomics and agribusiness, I'm Andy Wint. Live from the Royal Manx Agricultural Show, tomorrow at midday on smart devices, on air, online, on Manx Radio.
You're listening to the Isle of Man's quintessential daily news and current affairs roundup. Update on Manx Radio.
A major shake-up to jury service rules could be on the way, with the Isle of Man government consulting on scrapping most professional exemptions. If approved, it would be the biggest change to eligibility in over 40 years. To explain more, I'm joined with Simon Richardson with all the details. Fast to my Simon.
Fast to my Christian. Yes, these reforms stem from a Tynwald Select Committee review and public consultation. At the moment, the Jury Act 1980 exempts a wide range of professions, including doctors, civil servants, journalists and clergy, from jury service automatically.
And what did the public have to say about that?
There was, in fact, strong support for change. 86% of the 223 respondents said the current list is too broad and undermines fairness, especially in a small community like ours.
So what is the government proposing then?
Well, in essence, a move to a more inclusive system. Instead of blanket exemptions, anyone eligible could be called, but with the option to request an excusal for personal hardship or disruption to essential services. This, in fact, mirrors the approach used in England and Wales, which 71% of respondents supported.
And were there any exemptions people still wanted to keep?
Yes, mainly for judges, court staff and, to a lesser extent, Tynwald members, due to the risk of conflicts of interest. But for most other jobs, including teachers, journalists and emergency workers, support for automatic exemptions was low.
And what about people with disabilities or health conditions?
Well, the government says it will move to a case-by-case assessments rather than a blanket ban to comply with the Equality Act. Those unable to serve for genuine reasons can still be excused, though.
And there's a rule that bars former professionals from serving for 10 years. Is that going to be changing at all?
Yes, that's going to be scrapped. Nearly 80% wanted it gone. Recent professionals will still be able to request an excusal if needed, but the blanket 10-year exclusion is ending.
And there were concerns around hardship, particularly for carers and the self-employed. Is that being considered?
It has. The government's promised clearer guidance on what counts as a valid reason to be excused and an easier process to apply.
And just lastly, do we know when these changes might be taking effect?
A legal amendment is expected before the end of the year, and if passed, most professional exemptions will be removed, with only limited exceptions, in a move the government hopes will help make juries more inclusive and representative.
Simon Richardson, thank you for taking the time to join us. Now, the UK government is taking action to increase the maximum price it's prepared to guarantee companies generating electricity from new wind farms. The move comes ahead of the latest auction for government-backed contracts scheduled to take place this month. It's hoped to stimulate greater interest from companies in developing new wind farms, as Amy Griffiths reports.
Back in 2023, under the Conservative government, there were no bids placed by offshore wind developers for any projects, amid claims the price offered meant projects weren't viable. If wind farm developer Ørsted gets planning approval for 90 giant wind turbines between 6 and 12 miles off the island's northeast coast, the power generated by what it's thought will be the world's largest turbines will be sold into the UK grid. This year, the maximum guaranteed price for offshore wind will be £113 per megawatt hour, up from £102 in 2024, a price that Conservatives in the UK describe as eye-watering. The UK government claims the prices don't represent the final guaranteed amount because companies will be expected to put in lower bids to win contracts. The new guaranteed price, known as the clearing price, would be based on those. In the event that electricity market prices are in excess of the price set, the companies would pay the excess back to the energy suppliers, which could lower bills for consumers.
Amy Griffiths with that report.
Get the full story. Tune in to Manx Radio's newscast for in-depth interviews behind the headlines. Find the newscast now at manxradio.com or your usual podcast provider.
A nurse who helped transform sexual health services on the Isle of Man has retired after a 50-year career. Amanda Dawson became the island's first sexual health nurse in 2000 and has played a leading role in shaping the service. Colleagues gathered at the Manx Integrated Sexual Health Centre to wish her well. So the question is, what is she most proud of looking back?
Destigmatising sexual health, I think. I think there's still a lot of stigma around sexual health. And if there's one thing I could wave a magic wand and just get people to accept that their sexual health is part of their health and it's not this strange thing that doesn't apply to them, it's to other people. Just be a normal part of their health. I think that's one of the main things. Destigmatising, yeah.
And so I suppose then what's next for you now that you're about to retire?
I've got lots of plans. I've moved into a new property with a bit of land. I'm a country girl now. So I'm going to be doing a bit of gardening, and we've got animals and horses and all these kind of things. So I think I'm going to be incredibly busy, I think.
Amanda Dawson speaking there, the island's first sexual health nurse. Very happy retirement. Living in the country, I imagine you can start growing your own vegetables. Right, sport next.
Your name's not Dan, you're not coming.
Make Floor Fillers, the soundtrack to your Saturday night with me, Chris Quirk. Relive the best nights of your life with dance anthems from the 90s onwards. We'll also be firing up the decks in the studio and going in the mix for 20 minutes of uninterrupted anthems. Whether you're dressed to impress for a night out or vibing at home with friends, Floor Fillers brings you the energy to kickstart your Saturday night from 8 on Manx Radio.
Thank you, Chris Quirk. Now, Isle of Man snooker player Daryl Hill has been selected to represent Great Britain at the 2025 World Games in China, which are getting underway this week. It's considered a prestigious event for many sports which aren't included in the Olympics, and Hill will become the first Isle of Man player to take part.
So the World Games, I find it's an event not many people have actually heard of, mainly because I think of the coverage maybe, but it's actually like more or less second to the Olympic Games, so it's the equivalent of the Olympics. Every every 4 years, but for every discipline not in the Olympic Games already. So of course billiard sports, as it's termed, is in it with the likes of pool and carom and different variations of cue sports, and alongside a whole host of other multi-sports. So it's really exciting opportunity, one that really wasn't on my radar, to be honest. Last year I hadn't heard much about it, read much about it, and then had some good notable results last year on a personal level in world amateur stuff, and from that, that's led to obviously me getting the call for this. So it was a really nice bonus, really, you know, not on my radar at all.
You're no stranger to competing internationally, if you like, in snooker, but the fact that, like you say, it's a first foray for you into what is a high quality event, how proud does it make, not just you personally, but knowing that the Isle of Man is represented at an event of this stature?
Well, yeah, really good, because I mean, I've obviously been liaising with Isle of Man Sport quite a bit, between them and Team GB, who I'm effectively representing and playing under as well. And, you know, from what all they can see, I'll be the first athlete, if you like, in any discipline to represent the island in the World Games. So that's quite an honour, quite exciting as well, really, too. Because to be honest, with my playing now, with being on the professional circuit and then coming off a bit and just picking the world and European amateur events that I want to play in, you know, there aren't a lot of first experiences, if you like, I think, that I've got left. So for this to come up and to carry the torch, if you like, for the Isle of Man in the World Games is a real privilege, really. So I'm just, you know, going to try and just enjoy every minute of it, really, you know, and just enjoy being around that environment and being around the other athletes from the other sports. And yeah, so really excited to get going in that.
Isle of Man snooker player Daryl Hill speaking to Rob Pritchard there. The games are getting underway from today with the billiard sports, which Hill will be competing in starting on Sunday the 10th of August. Let's take a look at what's else happening in sport now. We can say Fastamai to Rob Pritchard. Fastamai,
Christian. Well, FC Isle of Man's NWCFL Premier Division match away at Abbey Hay has been brought forward to this month. The Ravens are now due to face their Manchester-based opponents at the Abbey Stadium on Saturday the 16th of August at 3 p.m. The two have previously been due to meet on Tuesday the 23rd of September at 7 p.m. Well, as a result of the change, FC Isle of Man now have five fixtures for the remainder of August. The Manx side return to action this weekend when they host Glossop North End at the Bowl in Douglas on Saturday, with kickoff for that scheduled for 6 p.m. And Manx Radio will be bringing you full live match commentary of that match on our DAB and AM 1368 channels. Elsewhere in golf, Castletown will now have the chance to face off against clubs in England next month after winning this year's Isle of Man Scratch League. The Southern side retained their crown after managing to beat Comus at Mount Murray by 4-2 during the 2025 final held on Monday the 28th of July at the neutral venue of Rowney Golf Club. As a result, Castletown will have the opportunity to represent the island at the England Golf Champion Club event at the Oaks Golf Club in Yorkshire from the 20th to the 21st of September. And that tournament sees every county association affiliated to England Golf nominate one club to take part in both the men's and women's tournaments each year. Elsewhere in the Isle of Man Scratch League last week, Peel ran out winners over King Edward Bay in the plate competition. In cycling, Manx Pro competitor Max Walker and EF Education EasyPost had a strong showing on today's fourth stage of the Tour of Poland on the Men's World Tour. Walker's teammate Maris Mikkels managed a fifth-place finish, with Walker himself finishing around 6 minutes behind stage winner Paul Manier of Sudal Quickstep. Tomorrow, Stage 5 will see riders face a 205.8-kilometre route from Katowice to Zakopane. And finally, the Isle of Man Billiards team has got its first ever campaign at the 2025 Home Internationals underway in Leeds. The team of Paul Smith, Mike Crook and Chenji Ratnaval are facing Republic of Ireland A right now in the first of two matches they have tonight.
Thank you very much for that, Rob. That is it for Update this evening. Thanks very much to newsreader Siobhan Fletcher. Shaq Clair is up next. Chris Kinley's Greatest Hits after that from 6 o'clock. Maurice Powell has a little light music, and that's before Rhian Evans takes the reins with After Hours from 10 o'clock. Remember, if there's anything you heard in the programme tonight which you think you may want to have a little listen to, head on over to our Manx Radio Newscast programme. That is all the interviews in a little bit more detail. I'll be back with you tomorrow, same time. So until then, take care. Bye-bye for now.